Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Saw the numbers for Kane with runners in scoring position his career. 294, pretty good numbers right there. And this one lifted into center field. Way back goes Havoc's out of here. A three-run bomb for Lorenzo Kane. His second home run in as many at-bats. And Milwaukee out in front, 4-1.
Boy, that was a blast. A 1-1 pitch, Workerman gave him a fastball, and he knocked it out of here. A three-run shot, four-seamer, middle in, and look at the extension that Lorenzo gets on that pitch. Another back leg swing for Kane. Four RBIs for him today. He's driven all of them in.
Wow.
Lorenzo Kane puts the Brewers ahead in the 10th inning. And they win 4-2, taking the series from the Cubs 2-3. They're 3-3 on the season. The panic from the 1-3 start has subsided, at least for a day. They've got the Cardinals later this afternoon, and then they will complete a series with them Saturday and Sunday. To talk a little Brewers baseball from the Wisconsin State Journal, Forbes Sports, and the one guy who will not let me in to his contact list. I had to hunt down his phone number because he won't give it to me. Andrew Wagner. Hello, mortal enemy.
Hello, Bart.
What's up?
Sideshow Bob and Bart Simpson.
I made a lot of people mad last segment because I was crapping on Babe Ruth for no reason.
You're a special kind, aren't you there, Bart?
Well, don't you think Babe Ruth would suck in today's game just to start there?
I mean, probably.
Yeah.
That's not too far of a stretch, mainly because, you know, he's dead and has been for like 100 years.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point. Hey, so the Brewers, they get the victory, and you were down in the friendly confines to check it out. The Brewers, they lose the first game and then win the next couple of games, so they're 3-3 on the season. And I was a little not pleased when Woodruff got taken out right away. He talks later. He says, dude, I was gassed. And so for Brandon Woodruff, you know, his two starts, I keep mentioning this, opening day, so much adrenaline. And then he's got a no-hitter through six, so much adrenaline. One of the storylines I want to watch this year is how careful are they going to be with these pitchers? And I thought, okay, 74 pitches for Woodruff. They're being very, very careful, but I get it. Woodruff is gassed. These kind of outings, are we going to see anybody go 7, 8, 9 innings? I know early in the special situations, but it really does seem like Craig Counsell has stressed, hey, we are going to be super cautious with these pitchers. We went from 60 games to 162. We're just not taking any chances.
That's exactly it. They're not going to risk. Would you rather have, you know, Brandon Woodruff going 7 innings in, you know, his first 5, 6 starts right now and then being gassed in September? Or would you rather have him getting out early, letting Williams and Hader do their thing at the back end and then, you know, get full efforts from Woody down the stretch? I mean, that's pretty much what you're looking at right now.
Can you talk a little longer? I'm eating a donut.
Attaboy. You are.
My boss brought in donuts.
Got done recovering from that road trip back from St. Louis.
Andrew and I took a we went to St. Louis together when the Brewers made the playoffs. That night they clinched, and then I gave you a ride home, and I bought you breakfast.
I offered to ride with you, so you didn't have to go alone.
Yeah.
Let's review this. Let's be fair here.
You were doing me a favor?
I was doing you a favor. Anyway, back to the Brewers.
My donut has been consumed, so thank you.
Okay, good. There you go.
For that. Brewers 3-3. Again, they start a series with St. Louis today. So I think that, you know, the pitching's something interesting to watch. Also, they made a trade 4 games into the season. Did that surprise you that Arcia got dealt and that they're really committing now to Urias as the shortstop?
I mean, not really. The timing of it on the surface seems weird, but obviously that was something that's been, you know, they've been working on that now for a couple of weeks. You know, that just doesn't pop up out of nowhere. I'm not surprised that they committed to Urias. I mean, listen, you don't trade for a guy like that with the intent of, like, sitting him on the bench or bouncing him around the field. Like, he was – people forget, mainly because it's been so long and he's been through so much in this last year, but he was once not only one of the top prospects on the Padres, but in all of baseball. Like, they kind of figured him and Tatis were going to be, like, the centerpiece of the future moving forward. That kind of changed when they went with a different strategy, but – He's a good player. He's a really good player. You haven't seen it yet in Milwaukee because hasn't been able to play consistently. And he's only 23 years old. So he's kind of like Orlando Arcia in that regard, where he got through the minor leagues really fast. He got up to the major leagues really fast. Never really got it going at the big leagues, but has all the pieces. So one, that's the number one reason they committed to him. Two, you know, you kind of knew at this point what you were getting with Orlando Arcia. And three, he was going to cost a little bit of money to keep him around, you know, in the long term. He was going to have the arbitration and likely to get a pretty big payday.
And then the trade they make, I mean, they get two pitchers from the Braves who, I mean, these guys aren't going to be like the next Mariano Rivera, even Josh Hader, Devin Williams. But that goes to the point, man. The Brewers understand that they are going to need pitching for the long term, and I think that's another reason they made this deal.
Absolutely. You know, there's an old adage, you can never have enough pitching. You look at, like, every move that David Stearns has made, every trade he's made, you know, I think pitchers have been thrown into every single one of them, and sometimes these guys are people you've never heard of. I mean, look at the deal for Freddy Peralta. He was one of, like, 3 19-year-old pitchers they got, and everyone rolled their eyes, like, okay, fine, you're just dumping Adam Lind for a bunch of you know, used baseballs. But you never know when these guys turn up. And with the way the Brewers have been able to develop pitching now over the last couple of years, not just guys that they've drafted, but guys they brought into the organization and spent some time in the minor league level with their pitching instructors. I mean, it's easy to roll their eyes at these no-name guys that they pick up, but they've got a good track record now getting guys into a good spot and getting to the big leagues and having some success.
So one thing that I did over the month of March is I kind of spied on you and all the Brewers media because I would watch the Zoom press conferences I had access to. And now I never ask a question because God forbid I'd actually do that part of my job. As you know, in radio, I just read articles and box scores that you guys put together so that I can look good. And I never give any credit. Yeah. A lot of what I say is actually the hard work of Andrew Wagner and those guys that cover the Brewers. And I just recite it as my own and take all the glory. But one thing that I spied on you guys was how much, you know, Keston Hira at first base, it is obviously a talking point. And he's starting 0-for-19, which is not good. 10 of those outs are strikeouts, also not good. And one thing that you guys would ask him is, and him being Craig Counsell and Keston, is you're trying to learn this new position, okay? There's a lot that's going into that. And there's a lot of, like, reps you need to do, and there's a lot of mental, you know, you have to compartmentalize that. You have to put a lot of time into that. You ask Counsell, will it affect you at the plate? And he says, oh, no, 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 those are two totally different things. The results would say that that is not true. Would that be the best way to describe what's going on with Hira? Or, again, are we just one weekend too early?
I'm going to say a little of both. I mean, really, anyone, I honestly don't believe anyone that ever says that one thing doesn't lead to the other when it comes to learning a new position and struggling on offense. Like, that's a lot of work, especially first base. Not to say that Hira can't handle it, but it's just, it's tough for anyone. So I think it's a combination of the two things. You know, the transition, maybe cutting into some time, cutting into some of the mental bandwidth, but also, too, I mean, it's early. You know, he's a young pitcher who's still trying to figure out how to readjust when pitchers adjust to him, if that makes sense.
Andrew Wagner, by Andrew Wagner on Twitter. You were tweeting at me yesterday. I didn't respond. I think you were kind of like mocking me.
I was taking pot shots at you, I'm sure.
Yeah. What would you say is my worst attribute as a Brewers fan?
Oh, God, we don't have enough time in the segment, man. Irrational, I don't know.
Irrational?
Logical.
Law, logical. Yeah. Mm. Interesting.
Next time, give me some prep time so I can really, do it justice.
Well, I think I get confused. I mean, I want good guys on my team. I wanted you, Darvish. He's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. I was giving you the business about Craig Kimbrel.
Craig Kimbrel, he's pretty good.
Yeah, but he's good right now.
Yeah, I want him.
Has he been good the first 2 years that the Cubs had him?
No. I wanted Sonny Gray. He's really good.
And this is the fallacy that a lot of people have, is you think that because a team doesn't get a guy that they weren't going after it. Like, Stearns isn't sitting in his office playing Minesweeper on his computer when all these deals are going down. Like, there's...
He was when he traded Grisham. What a terrible trade that was.
Oh. Well, where was Grisham going to play?
I don't know. First base.
Oh, my God. Oh, Bart. I feel for Mrs. Bart so much.
Why? She loves me.
Is that been verified? Like, has that been well-sourced? Is this just White House talking points? I say this all the time, and this isn't, this isn't fantasy baseball. This isn't video game. Like, other teams have the right to say, no, you can think that you have the best package of prospects or the best offer, but like another GM can simply decide to say, nah, I don't want to deal with you because, well, I don't like you. Or a free agent can say, yeah, no, I don't want to take your money. I'd rather go to this team and play for less money. It may not make any sense in the world, like, oh, Milwaukee's a winning team, has a roof, blah, blah, blah. Why would you go to like Keokuk, Iowa? Well, it's whatever a guy wants to do. So it's easy to sit there and say, oh, we should have got this guy. But it's never quite as simple as so-and-so didn't sign here or so-and-so didn't come here in a trade.
Is it so much to ask, though, as a fan, that the Brewers do every single thing I want them to do?
I mean, they should take into account that you're an owner of a National Football League.
I am. I do. I own the Packers.
God. I saw a T-shirt at TJ Maxx that probably said Green Bay Packer owner. I thought about getting it for you, but then I bought it and I threw it in my bonfire in the backyard.
Oh, good, because guess what? I already got one, bro. Joke's on you.
Oh, gosh. It's too early for this.
One more. Andrew Wagner.
Okay.
Brewers ceiling. Absolute ceiling. Because I think this is going to be a fun year. I know this first week people got a little skittish. Long season. Every game counts the same, I agree, but long season. I think the NL Central is certainly within their sights, and then just kind of go from there. If you can get me a series where Woodruff goes and then Corbin goes, I'm trying to be better at like not completely buying into every year is going to be a championship year for all of my teams. But the Brewers, the best version of this team, it does exist in them to have a very good run.
Yeah, I don't see why the Central Division shouldn't be, like, a real logical outcome. You look at everyone else in there. I mean, really, why not the Brewers? The Brewers probably have the best 1-2 pitching punch in anyone in that division, maybe outside of the Dodgers right now. And if once Williams, and I'm fully confident that Williams will, you know, shake it off. He's not going to be like he was last year, obviously. I think it's pretty much impossible. But once he settles in and gets a feel for that changeup, him and Hader at the back end, Burns and Woodruff at the front, even Brett Anderson, you know, is pretty legit, giving you five innings out there. I don't see anyone in the division with pitching that can hold up to that. And you know the offense is going to get going. I mean, you know this is not – any offense that has Christian Yelich on it, I don't care what happened last year. No offense with Christian Yelich on it is going to be miserable for, you know, an entire 162-game season.
Andrew Wagner, by Andrew Wagner on Twitter. Thank you for sucking it up and coming on my award-winning radio show.
I only came on because I was hoping that I would, you know, have to deal with Horvat or something, or, you know.
No, he bails on me, yeah, too, half of the week.
Okay. Yeah. All right, well, you know, I'll send you the bill.
Okay, you can. Good luck. Thanks, buddy.
Bye, buddy.
Andrew Wagner, who, as you can tell, just hates me. Bye, Andrew Wagner on Twitter. But we thank him for his time. Hey, you know who I don't hate Andrew. Mm-mm. And you know what? I should have told him I love him. I love Andrew. Because behind that exterior, there's a real soft teddy bear in there. I'm going to say it. I love Andrew Wagner. Now, on the list of things I love, Window Select, just a little bit over Wags. No offense to Wagner. Window Select, 262-703-3500, 262-703-3500, windowselect.com. Windowselect.com. Check these guys out. A lot of great deals that they have to make everything affordable for you. Whether you're looking at, well, windows, Window Select. How about this deal? Buy one, get one on the windows. Buy one, get one on the windows. No matter how many windows you purchase, the deal works for it. So if you need one room, let's say you got one room, four windows, two of those are free. Let's say you got one room, four windows, five windows in another, five in another. You need 40 windows in the house. You're going to do the whole house. Older windows, older home. Got to update the windows. You still get half of those for free. That's 20 windows in that example. Buy one, get one on the windows, no matter how many windows you purchase. So check that out, windowselect.com. Also, when you do get their products, doors as well, entry doors, customizable, real beautiful, and the siding, no payments for a full year. Window Select, 262-703-3500, 262-703-3500, windowselect.com, windowselect.com. Check them out again, 262-703-3500. Couple of things I want to talk about with Peter Bukowski, Locked On Packers. You can find that on the Odyssey app. First of all, Rodgers, obviously, duh. How he's doing as the Jeopardy host. Could he do it full time? He might be in the running. He's pretty good. He's a good host. Does he have the booming Alex Trebek voice? Is he a little more soft-spoken? That could be a criticism. But Aaron Rodgers, he's good at it because he put in the time. He didn't just show up and say, oh, it's Jeopardy. You can tell he prepared, just like he prepares as the quarterback. I bet you if Jordan Love hosted Jeopardy, you'd just be like, duh, potpourri. That's not fair. I understand. I'll strike that from the record. But I do want to talk about Aaron Rodgers and the draft because it looks more and more like they may take a cornerback at 29. But by the time that the Packers are on the clock, will the really good cornerbacks that can actually positively affect this team in the immediate future, will they all be gone? Peter Bukowski, Locked On Packers next. 12:50 a.m. The Fan. I'm Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz, Ryan Horvath. Producer Todd, Jeff Orlowski, Dan Plucker, Evan Heffelberger, Rami Makhlouf, Leroy Butler, cast of dozens here on The Fan. We'll talk to Peter Bukowski, Locked On Packers, which you can find on the Odyssey app. If you have not downloaded that, I would. It's free. So many different things you can find there. I don't know if you guys knew this, but there's two girls that are famous on TikTok. When they're not TikToking, they have a podcast. And then their parents have a podcast to talk about what it's like to have two girls that are famous for TikToking. So really good stuff. Really, really good stuff there. Let's take a look at the Masters leaderboard, which have started this morning before we get to Peter. Oh, our boy Hudson Swafford looked like he did have a bogey. He's down to one under par. A lot of guys are at this point. Abraham Anser, Matsuyama. We've got Ian Poulter, one under, Jason Day. So the big names start to trickle in. We've got Sergio Garcia. He just teed off recently. Webb Simpson, Rory, and Dustin tee off within the next 30 minutes. John Rahm, Patrick Reed, Daniel Berger. So a lot of the names that you're familiar with really starting to get underway here. I do feel bad for some of the guys that have already blown up on the course. Victor Hovland, who is just through one hole, is three over. A triple bogey. Joe Long, Sandy Lyle, six over. Shoot. I just put my mortgage on Sandy Lyle. My wife said, Bart, don't do it. You've never even heard of this person. I said, the odds are too good. I got to put the mortgage on it. And so now we're going to be out of house and home. So that's a look at what's going on with the Masters. Again, round one will be completed today. We'll talk about that tomorrow and then much more throughout the weekend, obviously. Nothing better than the Masters, of course, not just for like the golf, but what's better than falling asleep to this song? I'm not doing Jim Nancy. Hello, friends. No, no. This song means you go to sleep. Night-night time, nap time. Get up early Sunday, do your chores, go to church, come home, polish off the Easter candy you still have left over, and take a nap and watch golf. Some sports are just better to watch golf and take a nap, and golf is one of those for sure. 414-799-1250. You can reach us 1250 AM, The Fan, as well. Aaron Rodgers' Jeopardy hosting continues. Another good night last night. He is good at it, and it's because of preparation. He didn't just show up and started hosting. He prepared for it. Peter Bukowski, Locked On Packers, which is also on the Odyssey app. Peter, I don't know if you, and thanks for a couple minutes, I don't know if you voted in my poll or not the other day. It was a very famous poll. Hi, Peter.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Was I supposed to prepare for this?
No. God, no.
Okay, great. We're in good shape.
Do you think I did? It's clear I didn't.
I mean, I just never assume anything with you.
Thank you. That's the except that I don't like the Jordan Love pick. That's the one thing that I'm consistent
I'm always prepared for that.
Well, the poll I put up the other day was, what will be a higher number? Episodes of Jeopardy hosted by Aaron Rodgers the rest of his life. He's already at 10. Or starts as a Packer by Jordan Love. What would you vote? What would you vote in that poll?
I will take the Jordan Love over.
Mm.
And not just to spite you.
Do you think, because Rodgers now, I don't know how much of Jeopardy you've watched, you think he's got a shot at the full-time gig? Because now he's like, I've never seen him go all in with anything like this. He wants it.
Oh, he is openly caping for this job. I don't know that it's something that Jeopardy would want to do. It seems a little novel for them. But, I mean, he's good enough at it. I think he obviously likes doing it, and the superstar effect could be tantalizing for whoever produces that. I don't know. I don't see it. I mean, it does seem like he really does want it, though.
You know, it'd be weird. What would be weird is if he got the gig, and then, like, 10 years from now, you're just watching Jeopardy and you scroll through the channels and it's like, there's Aaron Rodgers, whatever, it's Aaron Rodgers, he used to be a quarterback. And you just scroll on. Cause like if he got it, oh my God, it'd be a big deal. It was like when comic legend Drew Carey got Price is Right.
Right, and now no one cares. You know what's gonna happen though is he'll get the job and then he'll become the beloved host, and then 10 years they'll replace him with Harry Styles or something.
Ah, ha ha ha. Yes, they will. They will run him out of town too early. I think one interesting thing with this offseason, because I will say this from I guess I understand. If you're the Packers, you are trying to give yourself an out still. I mean, if you're going to pay all these other dudes, you've got a guy you drafted to eventually take over for Rodgers. So I understand why they're not like restructuring to further commit to him. From a business financial planning standpoint, I get it. I don't like it because I want Rodgers to play here for a long time. I think he still can, and he just won the MVP, whether it threw a wrench in their plans or not, as he says. What I got kind of weirded out by the other day was when Mark Murphy talked, and like you couldn't have paid him any amount of money to comment on that. It just seems like a franchise that has gone through this before, and they know that it's going to be a messy breakup. Because of all the scenarios that this could work, Rodgers to Love with just a clean handoff, the only way would be Super Bowl, retire, Love time. They knew this was going to be a disaster, at least publicly, PR relation-wise, but they're still so committed. And I think one of the problems I have, Peter, is the Packers seem to be going out of their way, at least Murphy the other day, to make it messier, if that makes sense.
Well, I don't know about that. I agree with you about the weirdness of that Mark Murphy press conference. But if you go back to the end of the season, Matt LaFleur said everything right when it comes to the quarterback and who is going to be the quarterback, and we want Aaron Rodgers, and that doesn't mean just this year. We want him for the long term, whatever that means in football parlance. And Brian Gutekunst said Aaron Rodgers is our quarterback, and we expect him to be our quarterback for a long time. So those guys are saying the right things. Brian Gutekunst said publicly that they had gone to Rodgers and talked about a restructure. Mike Silver, who is close with Rodgers, has said, look, Rodgers wants this to happen, and the Packers are being a little intransigent about it. Who knows what that means exactly? But it is interesting that they have bent over backwards, right, to not do anything with his contract, when the easiest way for them to have cleared cap space would have been to simply restructure Aaron Rodgers. And it really only changes 1 year. I mean, yes, they can get out of his contract reasonably after this season. If they restructured and did just a simple restructure where they accelerated his base salary as bonus and spread it out, it would basically say, okay, well, now you're the quarterback through 2022, and then the Packers can get out of it. And it would seem weird for them to say, well, we're gonna risk pissing off our Hall of Fame quarterback and putting ourselves in a bigger cap problem simply because we want an extra year of flexibility. That just like logically doesn't make sense to me. And so from a cap management standpoint, I try and use, just like basic Occam's razor on this and say, okay, what is the simplest explanation for all of this? And that it's, I think they're waiting to use the cap space, because I do think they still need to use it. They still need to create the cap space. I think ultimately they will still do something with this contract. And I wouldn't be surprised if they still have a card left to play. Mike Silver told me yesterday that Rodgers has tried to recruit a couple guys to come sign in Green Bay. And Brian Gutekunst said that they felt like they could make a move or two in free agency. They clearly haven't done that yet. Maybe they're waiting until after the draft and they could get a Richard Sherman or a Casey Hayward, or even – you know, further down the line of Kenny Still, someone like that, and they could use whatever money that they can create with Rodgers to do that.
Talking with Peter Bukowski, Locked On Packers. Again, you can find that on the Odyssey app as well, and wherever you get your podcast, Locked On Packers, check it out. Peter, the host of that, and Locked On Today. How's that going? I have the name of that right? I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. it's all sports, not just Packers, so... It's for the fan who, you know, it follows, let's say, the Packers closely or the Bucks or the Brewers, but you sort of want to be up to date and you don't feel like watching SportsCenter. It's all the big stories and it's no nonsense. Just sort of here's what's going on. Here's why it matters. That kind of thing. But we still have fun.
You got to have fun, Pete. I mean, what are we doing this for if we're not having fun?
Exactly. It's a boring job if you don't have fun.
Got to have fun. Peter Bukowski joining us. So with the offseason, I think that it's been interesting. You have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who won the Super Bowl, and I believe every starter is back, and that hasn't happened in a long time. So they've brought everybody back. You have the Packers, who are kind of doing the same thing. And I do think they were both the best two teams in the NFC. You saw they both made the championship game. I think the Packers could have won that game. We know that. And if David Bakhtiari's healthy, I think they do win that game. I think that's a big difference, and I think they do win that game. So it's smart of both teams to run it back. I'm surprised, like, how committed the Packers are to running it back. We're like, everybody's back. You know, you lose Jamal Williams and Corey Linsley because of financial situations, but Will Redmond, you're back. Channon Sullivan, you're back. Anybody that's been a part of this team is back. Has that part of this surprised you or no?
Oh, it absolutely surprised me. And the lengths to which they've gone to do that, as you said, Will Redmond, who is a core special teams player, but when he's been having to play, you know, as a defensive player, has been more or less a disaster for them. I think people forget with the Kevin King play at the end of the first half that the play before, two plays before, Will Redmond dropped a gift interception from Tom Brady that would have obviously stopped that touchdown from happening and kept the game much more in reach for Green Bay. The Kevin King deal, I think, was pretty surprising, although once we saw the structure of it, you know, it's really like a one-year, $2 million deal on the cap, and then they're spreading some more of that money out. That has been surprising. Aaron Jones coming back is somewhat surprising, although, you know, for months we heard that they were trying to get that deal done. I think you're right, though. These are the two best teams in the NFC. I think they're still the two best teams in the NFC, and so it makes sense for them to run it back. What I had said recently on Locked On Packers was, to me, this points to some sort of, you know, not big move necessarily, like they're going to move up in the top 10 and draft Kyle Pitts. But I think, you know, Brian Gutekunst has been aggressive trading up, you know, Darnell Savage, Jair Alexander, and Jordan Love. He has shown a willingness to go up and get guys. They have the second most draft picks in this draft, and they have a roster after they brought everyone back that doesn't have room for all these players. I think we're going to see Brian Gutekunst be a little bit more aggressive in terms of moving up to get guys that he likes, maybe even on day two, use both those fourth round picks to move up into the back into the top 100 and grab someone. I think that the status quo with the rest of the roster says to me that the draft, they're going to be fine with taking fewer picks as long as they can make some higher picks and target the guys that they want.
And that's really what I wanted to talk to you about. I mean, yeah, I gotta talk about Rodgers for 10 minutes. I just can't help myself. But you tweeted the other day that if the Packers draft a cornerback, and you said they're drafting a cornerback, it will come from this list. And you've got a list of guys, elite athletes at the position, and there's a handful of them as far as cornerbacks. Now, the research I've done up to this point on the draft is that there's like a consensus top four in different orders. From Farley, Virginia Tech, Sertan from Alabama, J.C. Horn, South Carolina, Greg Newsome, Northwestern. And you thought where the Packers are at 29, you know, maybe they can get Newsome. It seems like his stock has risen a little bit. And then from what I've heard, and just, again, the minor research I've done on the draft, it seems like 29 is a bad spot to just sit there and get a corner. Like, if you want a corner that's good and going to start right away, you got to trade up. Otherwise, you can get a guy still, but that's more second-round value. Would the Packers be more prone, do you think, trade up, get one of those top four, or someone else they like, trade down, and get what the value is perceived as, or just stay at 29 and grab one?
Well, of course, it's going to be relative to what happens ahead of them, and that's a little bit of a cop-out answer, I know. But what's interesting, actually, is – so Caleb Farley was considered, the Virginia Tech corner was considered by most to be either the best or second best corner in the draft. Then he had back surgery this offseason. And now, you know, Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network, who is really plugged in on this stuff, and some of the other places that follow this stuff are now projecting Farley mid to late 20s. In fact, the Draft Network has him right at 29 on their projected board. So it could be the case that Green Bay is hoping that Farley or Newsome can fall to them. What is useful this season is the teams drafting directly in front of them are probably more likely to take receivers or other positions. So if they want to move up, they're going to have to probably get into like that 20, 21 range again. So, you know, last year they could have moved up to get Justin Jefferson and they would have had to go up into that same sort of range. And they've done that before. The Savage move was from 30 to 21, and that cost them two fourth-round picks to do. You could do it if you wanted to give up a third as well, and then, you know, maybe package those fours and move up again. So I think they could move up to do that and get someone. Greg Newsome is a terrific scheme fit, but he has injury questions. Caleb Farley is a perfect scheme fit. He has those back injury questions. Maybe those are reasons those guys fall. If there is a sort of sleeper cornerback pick for me in the first round, it's a Fatu Melifonwu from Syracuse, who I'm sure a lot of people are unfamiliar with unless you're a listener to Locked On Packers, because I have a little bit of a draft crush on him. He's huge. He He's incredibly athletic, 41.5-inch vertical, 11-inch broad jump and ran in the 4.4s. He's big, and he tackles. That's the thing. If you hated watching Kevin King try and tackle over the last 4 years, you're going to love watching Melifonwu play. The guy is so proficient and so physical. There are some teams who want him to play safety because he's such a reliable and a willing tackler. I think he's a first-round quality talent. He fits the athletic numbers that they like. But maybe you could move down a little. Maybe you could trade down into 34, 36, 38 and get Melifonwu or Eric Stokes from Georgia. If those top guys, if there's a run on corners, let's say, you know, the fourth guy goes off the board at 22 with Tennessee, then, okay, maybe you're thinking maybe trade down into the high 30s and you can still get. I think there's a nice little concentration of good players in the 30s and 40s that Green Bay could still take advantage of if that's the direction they want it to go.
I guess two-parter, do you think they take a corner with their first-round pick? First pick overall, what do they they could trade down, like with Kevin King. Not a corner, Peter, then who else would it be?
I do think it's going to be a corner or a defensive back. There's another guy that I really have my eye on for them, whether it's at 29 or in a trade-up. And that's Trayvon Merrig from TCU. He is listed as a safety, but played mostly in the slot. And so he becomes essentially a cover player for you, someone who you can put on receivers in the slot, who can play zone coverage. Remember, this is going to be a zone-heavy scheme. So your nickel corner, for example, is not someone who's going to have to be running with Justin Jefferson in the slot necessarily, or some of these really good slot receivers. It's going to be more of a sort of team effort. So you want these ball hawking guys, these smart guys who can play with their eyes through the quarterback. And Merrig is that guy for me that I think would make a lot of sense in the first, especially if they think, hey, at 62, we could get Stokes, Melifonwu, someone like that, or they're willing to trade up as they were last year. Remember, there was, multiple reports that Green Bay was interested in moving back up in the second to get one of the receivers that they liked. And those guys, I think Claypool in particular was someone that they would have really wanted. And he went earlier than they thought he would. And that's just sometimes that happens. Maybe they're going to learn a lesson from that and say, okay, well, then in the first round, this guy has got to be our corner. The Packers draft for need more often than I think fans give them credit for. You look at that 2018 draft with Jair Alexander, that was certainly a need pick. Josh Jackson in the second, Darnell Savage, certainly a need pick. And Elton Jenkins turned out to be a need pick. So I think it's going to be a defensive back. If it's not, I think offensive tackle is the spot. And there are a couple guys right in that range. Dylan Radins from North Dakota State, Liam Eichenberg from Notre Dame, and then if he falls a little bit, Tevin Jenkins from Oklahoma State. All three of those guys could come in pretty soon in their development and play right tackle for the Packers. Keep Elton Jenkins where he is, though I think he could be a right tackle of the future. And, we saw in the NFC Championship game, you mentioned it, David Bakhtiari, if he plays, they probably win. Well, why not invest in more offensive linemen to keep that depth? And, you have it now for Aaron Rodgers, and you have it later for Jordan Love, your favorite.
I'm rooting for him. I'm rooting for him to have a good, long career. Just not with
somewhere
us.
Else.
Yeah, somewhere else. You're right. The draft, Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence seems likely. Jets, I guess Zach Wilson seems likely. The Niners go to 3, and Mac Jones could be their guy. I don't know where Justin Fields went from 2 to, the 4th guy, and even further down in some. Are we going quarterback? I mean, Atlanta could take one. They could trade out. Who knows? But are we going quarterback top 4 picks?
I think the quarterback, whoever takes someone at 4 is going to take the quarterback. And Adam Schefter has been saying for weeks he thinks first 4 picks are quarterbacks. And I look at this draft and I go, why aren't the first 5 picks quarterbacks? Because I think Lawrence, Wilson, Fields, Lance, and the other Wilson are all legitimate starting quarterbacks in the NFL. And those guys just, they create so much value that people should be moving up for them. And I think they're going to. I think we're going to see teams aggressively pursue quarterbacks. I mean, we just saw Sam Darnold go for a 2nd and a 4th. The 49ers gave up serious draft capital to go up to 3 and draft whoever, if it's Mac Jones, LOL on some level, but also he's a really good player. I think he's one of the 15 best players in this draft. I have a better grade on him than Sam Darnold. So, or than I did when he was coming out, and Sam Darnold's been terrible. So maybe that's not saying much, but I would be genuinely surprised if we don't get four quarterbacks in the top four, and I would say five in the top 10.
Yeah, I can't
wait. Historic, by the way.
Oh, I know, and it's only 3 weeks away. I kind of got lost in that a little bit.
Yeah, remember though, a couple years ago, you know, the Browns had the number one overall pick, and it was like, well, they're deciding between Josh Allen and Sam Darnold, and Peter King said, you know, I think it's Josh Allen, and then it was, oh, it's Sam Darnold. You know, John Dorsey met with his parents at his pro day, and then 2 days before the draft, Adam Schefter and Chris Morrison come out and say, actually, it's Baker Mayfield, and everyone went, wait, what? So, I mean, we're not going to get that at one. Trevor Lawrence is going one. And it seems like the consensus is that Wilson is going two. After that, it could just be chaos. If Mac Jones goes three especially, I mean, I think it's going to be a free-for-all for those next two guys, because I think Fields and Lance are both better than Mac Jones as prospects, and I think a lot of teams are going to be interested in moving up to get those guys. So it's going to be really fun, and that's going to push other guys down, you know, for the Packers, and that's a good thing for them.
You don't have to respond, but I will reach out to you before the draft.
Okay. Okay, sounds good.
To come back.
I'll be unprepared for it.
Thanks, Peter, as always.
All right, Bart. Take care, man.
Peter Bukowski, you too. Peter Bukowski joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're applying for a home renovation loan, you're a bit anxious, breathe. Let Great Midwest Bank help you experience a state of banquility. Get started, greatmidwestbank.com. Peter_Bukowski on Twitter. He is on the Locked On Network, both Packers and then Locked On Today, which covers everything. You need your sports fix in 20 minutes or less, they've got that for you. And again, you can find these podcasts now on the Odyssey app as well. Brewers and Cardinals go today. Corbin Burnes had a really good outing last time he was out, but did not get the win. So hopefully things change for him today. He's against Adam Wainwright, who did not have a great outing in his first outing. Has a 20-plus ERA to start the season. Never good. But we'll see what happens today. Hey, if you're struggling as a pitcher and you need an offense and the Brewers come to town, that could be a gift for you. Now, Woody had a really good outing yesterday. No hitter through six. Did get yanked after the seventh. And when you look at the pitch count, it was only 74. But as they explained, Council and Woodruff, he had to come out. He was kind of done. You're going to see pitchers probably come out earlier in games than you're accustomed to, even as a Brewers fan, where we yank everybody after four, because of they're trying to keep these guys fit for the whole season. The season is three times as long as it was a year ago, so you're going to see some of this. But with Woodruff yesterday, I mean, even 74 pitches, you take this guy, he pitches on opening day. What's more adrenaline-fueled than that? Oh, I can tell you, a no-hit bid at Wrigley Field. So for that reason, they had to take him out.
We definitely talked about it as the seventh inning went on. After the leadoff guy, when the leadoff guy got on, it was, I thought he was expending a lot of energy to get through that inning. And he said it immediately when he came in. So it was, you know, I talked to Woody about it, but at this point, it was the right thing to do. And there are going to be times when he keeps going, but this was the right thing to do it at this point.
After that inning, I think it was once Hap got the hit there on you, I had to kind of empty the tank in a sense. And even though it wasn't that many pitches, the ups is what gets you a little bit. And after that, and getting out of that inning and basically just emptying the tank there in the seventh and just to get through that. I was a little tired coming out after that inning. So, hopefully, you know, I think the biggest thing we have to look at is I think that was the right time. I think that was the right moment to do it because I was losing myself in my delivery a little bit on some pitches there. Not too much, but just a few pitches there towards the end. And I think Hookie and Counts kind of identified it too as well. So, I think it was the right move. So hopefully going forward, I get through seven on 72 pitches. They'll have to, you know, pretty much rip me off the mound to you know, take me out. So, but it's still early and, you know, I'm just glad we pulled out that win.
He actually pitched less pitches yesterday rather than he did on opening day. And that's the real interesting thing about these pitchers, too, is not only do they get better year in and year out, him and Burns, better year in and year out, but from start to start, the amount of things they work on from start to start is pretty fascinating as well.
Made a little tiny adjustment this week with the delivery, and today I felt in sync. I felt smooth. I felt on time, which allows me to be able to throw the ball where I want to. So, and I think it early on, I was getting a ton of early contact, and some of the pitches were, honestly, some of the pitches caught a lot of plate, but I think I was doing such a good job of getting down the mound a little bit better, and I think it was giving that sinker better action. And was able to get a lot of ground balls there early on. So, yeah, basically just it all starts and ends with a fastball for me. And everything else just plays off that.
So, again, Brewers-Cardinals today. It is Cardinals. It's their home opener. The last check of the weather. They should be in for clouds with a rain chance after 6. So you'll probably get that in. They do have tomorrow off just in case. Baseball does this with opening days. So tomorrow's off. It's weird. It's going to be the second Friday already of the season, and the Brewers have not yet played on one. Tomorrow, much warmer. You could have some rain on Saturday, so we'll see. Again, when you're on the road and not at beautiful American Family Field, you do have to deal with some of the weather, and so we'll keep you posted on that. And again, after the last pitch of every game, make the switch. Tim Allen and the Pella Windows of Doors of Wisconsin post-game show. We'll take you home after each and every game. A quick check on the Masters scoreboard before we depart for the day for the Wendy's Big Show. My boy, Abraham Answer. Oh, yeah. Barty, this is going to be maybe the last week I'm here. I'm thinking. Because once I win the million in DraftKings and FanDuel, I'm in both. And I'm going to win 400 in another pool I'm in. I'll come back, but I'm going to take like a 2-month vacation. I'm going to buy a yacht, which is going to be big enough to have another yacht park under the yacht. I'm just going to sail the seven seas, see where it takes me. I'm going to get grapes fed to me by beautiful women and men. I'll hire anyone. I'm not that way. So, Abraham Answer, I've just jinxed you. You will now finish 9 over for the day. Wendy's Big Show up next here on The Fan.